This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey, it's Malia White. I'm on the Hollywood Raw podcast, and we're talking about all the adventures on my ship and what really happened in my accident.
Hey, everybody, it's Tony Robbins.
Hey, guys, I'm Audrina Patrick.
Hey, this is Adam Carolla.
You're on the Hollywood Raw podcast.
You're watching Hollywood Raw.
You're listening to and watching Hollywood Raw.
This is the Hollywood Raw podcast, hosted by entertainment veteran Dax Holt and street journalist Adam Glynn. The podcast humanizing Hollywood. From celebrities to media moguls, even paparazzi and bodyguards have come to break news, break their silence, or just have a great conversation on Hollywood Raw. If they're on Hollywood Raw, there's a reason. From Page Six to TMZ, Daily Mail, and People Magazine, everyone is talking about the Hollywood Raw podcast with Dax Holt and Adam Glynn.
Yeah, we got a fun guest today. This is someone we've been trying to get on the show for a long time. But they, again, they've been a hard person to find because you never know where they're at in the world. Dax, tell us about our guest today.
Yes, we got Malia White on, star of Below Deck Mediterranean. Hi, Malia.
Malia, thank you for coming on the podcast. Where are you now, right now? Where are you?
I'm currently in France. I'm in La Ciota in a shipyard on my boat.
I just love that. Like, I'm just chilling in a shipyard. No big deal here. Are the accommodations nice in a shipyard? I have no idea. I mean, it looks nice. You got like a nice room going there.
Yeah. Well, because my boat's getting a paint job, we get to live in little apartments. So that's kind of nice. We get a little break from bunk life.
And how long of a break do you get? Because it seems like when you watch the show, you guys are constantly out doing stuff, but like, in reality, how long do you guys get breaks in between these voyages?
Okay, I shouldn't have said break. What I mean is we get to stay in apartments, but the shipyard is actually the busiest time for us. It's when we're doing all the big projects on the boat, like, repainting, fixing things that are broken throughout the season. But we have like a quick turnaround for this one. So a couple months, and then the boat will cross the Atlantic and go back to the Caribbean and do a whole Caribbean season.
That's amazing. So when is the last time you've been home?
Well, fortunately for me, I got in a scooter accident, so I got to go home a couple weeks ago.
I have so many questions about the scooter accident, but we're gonna wait on those because I feel like that deserves some serious time. But I want to take people back, you know, to kind of how you even landed on the show. Like, give us a little brief history of how you are where you're at today.
Yeah, it's a pretty shocking story. I mean, I had graduated college from University of Colorado, Boulder, and I didn't really know. Yeah, I'm a buff. I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I went backpacking and I worked in Hawaii for a bit as a dive instructor. And yeah, so then my last backpacking trip, I came home and my best friend and I were day drinking and we're like, right, what should we do with our lives? Like, do we really want to move back to Colorado and do like the 9-to-5 thing, or, you know, what should we do? And we just applied for like a bunch of reality TV shows, like Big Brother and like The Amazing Race and whatever else. And I got a call back from Below Deck and they're like, do you want to come on the show? And da da da. And it didn't work out the first season, but then it worked out the second season and the rest is history.
Can you
walk us through? That's pretty cool.
Sorry, I think we have a bit of delay, but can you walk us through what the audition process is like to get on a show? Because people don't realize what that's like. You know, you get a call back, but then what happens?
Yeah, I mean, I got a call back and then it was like a series of interviews on the phone and sending pictures and doing like, you know, filling out questionnaires, like what you're like, what are your hobbies, what do you do? And then you make it to a series of like video interviews and see how you do on camera. And, you know, I think that's when they're trying to sense like your personality, if you're going to be like the crazy one or whatever else. And then eventually I made it to like the final few people in the first season, they had chosen someone else. So then they called me And they're like, hey, can we put you through this whole process again and see if you make it? And then I did for the second one.
So from the time you started to the time you got on the show, how long was that period of time for like the interview process to see if you're a good candidate, if you'd be a good fit on the show?
To be honest, I don't remember like specifics with timeline, but I think it's just like a couple months. And then at the time I had moved back to Colorado. I was working like a corporate desk job and they called me and they were like, hey, we put you through again and you've actually made it. So if you want to go, you've got to like pack your bags and leave in like a week. It's like, great. Wow.
And did you know anything about what it's like working on a yacht, or you're just like, let's just try it?
Yeah, no, but Below Deck was my very first yacht that I worked on. And I'd worked on dive boats, but it's not comparable at all. And so I remember like the day before, like the week before, I was Googling like what is the bow and the stern and the port and starboard and like ship. I was like Googling like yacht terms and all this, and I just kind of winged it.
So you didn't need any experience prior to work on Below Deck?
They did have to send me to get my STCW, which is like your safety training, which is like a 5-day course that you do. Everyone that works on these yachts has to have it. But that was it. And, you know, they knew that I had dive boat background. Like I wasn't a newbie to working on a boat, but I was definitely green when it came to yachting.
So,
yeah.
Now looking back, you know, obviously you've been doing the show for a little bit. Are you happy with the decision? Like, how has it changed your life? Are you enjoying this new fandom, being part of the Bravo family?
I am. Yeah. I mean, I didn't know. Then I decided to get into yachting and I didn't know kind of what the name that the show has in yachting. Not all yachties are fans of the show. You know, it's kind of like taboo to do it. So they were like, oh, well, good luck getting a real job, you know, but I haven't had any trouble in the industry and I absolutely love filming it. So yeah, I'm definitely happy.
And you're getting your captain's license, right? Is that accurate?
Yes. I hold a captain's license. Yeah. But I'm upgrading. Yeah.
That's huge. From never being on a yacht to now holding a captain's license. That's a pretty big accomplishment. So congratulations with that.
Thank you. Yeah, it's crazy how much this show has like changed my life and kind of my career trajectory. I was working a normal desk job in Colorado and now I'm trying to be a captain on a super yacht. It's crazy.
So this is a dumb question. Do you get seasick often?
I don't know, but there are crew members that do, you know.
And what do you do? Like, what's the best protocol if you do get seasick, or how do you prevent it?
Pretend like you're not seasick. No, I'm kidding. As some crew, before we go on like a passage, especially if you know it's going to be rough, you take like Bonine or stuff that's like non-drowsy. But otherwise, once you get seasick, you kind of just got to power through it.
So the worst, seasick's the terrible.
I hate seasickness. I hate it.
So yeah. Bad.
So thinking back to your captain's license, once you have that, is there any reason that you couldn't do your own spin-off, your own show for Below Deck? Because I feel like that's kind of, it's centered around obviously Captain Sandy. So is there any chance of you doing your own Below Deck spin-off now that you have your license?
Like me being a captain on the show, is that what you mean? Or
yeah,
doing
your own spinoff of it. They give you your own season and it's not Mediterranean, it's the Baltic Sea. I don't know my seas, so I'm just throwing shit out there. But you know, is there a chance of that?
Hopefully, yeah. I think there could be. I gotta get my upgrade on my license, but definitely, yeah.
That's so cool.
Captain Malia.
Captain Malia season.
If you are a captain, what are the roles of the captain? Like, what does their job entail exactly?
Captain wears a lot of hats, you know. A lot of captains will tell you, like, the easiest part about being captain is driving the boat. If you think about it, the captain's kind of like the CEO of the company, you know. They're HR. They've got, you know, they're the captain of the ship. All the crew have to come to them for, you know, any reasons that they may need, you know. He or she is in control of every department on the boat. So they've got to do a lot of paperwork. They have to deal with the owners, the management company, the crew. So they're very busy people.
And you had mentioned earlier that you said people would kind of look down on going on below deck if they're in the yachting industry, correct? So do you feel that this show has, I'm assuming, helped your career and, you know, you've got your license, but do you feel that you're more in demand in the yachting space?
I wouldn't say more in demand. I would say I'm definitely recognized a lot more than I normally would have been probably. but I think the like, you know, the narrative around being on below deck is kind of changing. I think a lot of crew have done it now. And, you know, a lot of us have had positive experiences. So I think that's a good thing.
So how does someone get a job as in crew for a yacht? Like what's their background, or is this something like they just kind of fall in?
Well, I think a big misconception about like yacht crew is that we want a bunch of these like backpacker mentality where people come and they do yachting for a little bit, but it's not a career. Yachting, especially on the deck side, is very much a career. I mean, if you think about it, we spend a lot of money to get these licenses and these tickets, and we go back to school. Like, I've pretty much done my college degree again, you know? So to become crew, you got to get some training first, do your STCW, and depending on which department you're going into, like engineering and deck, you've got a lot of schooling ahead of you. And then, you know, interior as well, you've got to have a lot of experience in customer service, and they've got to do training as well. So, you kind of go get your basic training, and then you go dock walk or try to find a boat that'll take you as a greenie to get some experience on a yacht, and then you go from there.
What type of person do you feel like succeeds in this industry? Is it just like a hard worker? Is it someone with a great personality? Like when you're looking for crew members for the boats, like what are you looking for?
To be honest, you've got to have a little bit of everything. You've got to be a hard worker. That's full, you know, that's through every department. You've got to have hard work. A lot of our job is customer service. So you've got to be good with people and guests. I mean, unless maybe you're like an engineer.
I hate working for people. Yeah. People have problems. Like, go figure out your own problem. I don't know how you guys deal with whiny babies, but anyways.
Yeah. You got to be good with people. You got to be okay being on your feet for long hours, you know, and kind of just being okay with being away from home and stuff like that. It's not, you know, it's not like the normal life. We're not home a lot. And yeah.
Well, tell me about the people that want you guys as staff, you know, like we know who you guys are, but the people that kind of want this kind of the best staff possible, obviously they come from a very wealthy income. How are these people, you know, what's their background mostly?
I'd say mostly a business background. You know, you get the odd, like, famous person, but hardly any celebrities actually own yachts. It's more business. And I've never had a bad experience, like, with the people that I work for. I've worked for some great people. And it all depends on the kind of yacht you get on. You know, you kind of get these yachts that are more adventure yachts that want to go traveling and see the world. You get some that are just kind of leisure. They just want to do, like, the Med and the Caribbean, what we call, like, the milk runs. And they just want to be seen and shopping and restaurants and things. But you get all different kinds of yachts and charter programs. Some are like diving and helicopters and adventures. And some are more chilled. They just want to hang out by a beach and be left alone.
What's the most expensive yacht you've been on to date?
Like that they've paid for, like the price that they've paid for?
No, I'm talking boat. I want to know like the most expensive boat you've been on.
I don't know if I can say that, but it's up there. Yeah.
Like 120 million?
Close. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but you know, like if I could afford it, hell yeah, I'd have a yacht and I'd be going all over the world, you know?
But everyone talks about boats being a terrible investment and that just like you're just flushing your money down the drain.
You can afford a $120 million yacht. I don't think you're worried about it.
Endless money.
Yeah, I don't think they're worried about investments at this point.
What's the craziest thing you've seen on one of these yachts? Not like parties, but like, is there some sort of like water slide or something kind of crazy feature? Like the craziest feature you've seen on one of these yachts?
I'd say, well, I don't know if it's like the craziest, but you can Google these too, but you know, some of the coolest stuff is the toys that these yachts have. Like, you know, they've got submarines, helicopters, they've got Range Rovers that, you know, we strap down on deck. There's yachts that have like glass bottom interiors so you can see through. There's all kinds of things.
That's so cool.
So when you're working on these yachts, are you able to enjoy yourself a little bit? Like pretend you work 12 hours. Can you say, hey, I want to jump in the water real quick? Or how does that work for you?
It all depends. It depends on your captain, your program. It depends on, you know, what the guest usage is like. So let's say, like for my captain, for instance, I've worked for him now for a couple of years and he's amazing. But if we're in the Bahamas and the guests are away on the beach and we've just finished our shift, yeah, he'll let us go for a swim or, you know, kind of get off onto shore to walk around a bit and clear our heads. Like he's all about exercise. So we can go for a run or a swim or whatever on our break. And that's really nice.
Now, if you have a wild guest that's just out of control and then they realize that they're being taped, do they ever come and they're like, oh, we need you guys to get rid of this footage because it's going to look really bad for me?
Oh, I'm below deck. I'd say no, I've never seen the guests really approach production. I mean, I know that they've tried, like guests all the time will try to hide from production. Yeah. They'll try to like close the door or take their microphone off or try to secretly have a fight, like couples fighting and they're trying to quietly do it. And you're like, yeah, no, we can hear you. Everyone can hear you.
So why would these people want to be on the show? Like what's the benefit for them? Are they getting like a little bit of a break on the price of using you guys?
I think they do. Yeah. And you know, I think, yeah. And they can promote whatever they want to promote. So if you have a company you want to promote, I mean, we've seen like Mr. Skin come on Below Deck and things like that. And that's the challenging thing for like yachties who are really in the industry, because some of these guests, you know, have never chartered a yacht. So it's a little different for us. It's different clientele, I guess is the way to say it.
So we should do a Hollywood Raw on the ocean is what you're saying. It could be a good promotion for the podcast. We could hang out with you guys. We could be wild and crazy.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
I don't think we can afford the ocean. And maybe there's a lake somewhere in Nebraska we can fucking do, but I don't think
a swimming pool.
Yeah, really. Let's be real. There's a pond somewhere in Missouri we can maybe afford.
We'll just invite Malia over.
Yeah. What's the craziest party you've seen on one of these boats?
Oh, those. Yeah. I mean, how can you say the craziest? They have like they have amazing parties like every time they're on. So,
describe it.
Well, parties are one of the things, you know, what blows my mind to this day is for these parties, you might get things just flown in, like Dom Perignon or whatever. We'll be in like really remote places that you can hardly get milk at the store. And yet we're getting like a helicopter dropping off Dom Perignon and these fine wines. And that kind of blows my mind. Or you'll have like a seaplane come in with groceries and, you know, fresh lobster and things for this party.
Now,
or just a regular dinner.
Yeah, if you're working with, you know, guests that have this much extravagant money, then are you expecting your tip at the end to be able to afford like a car, essentially? Because if they're flying in groceries, are you not like, all right, give back a little bit? We've been working with you for a while and you got to tip your staff?
I wouldn't say afford a car, but we do get tipped well. I mean, what you see on the show is pretty like relative. It's usually about 18 to 20% of what your charter cost was. So that depends on the size of the boat. So some boats, you know, they're $500,000 to charter it for a week. So your tip is very generous. You know,
that's great. Have you ever seen an orgy on the boat? Like anything going on, like sex parties and stuff like that.
I will say I worked on a boat. I won't say which one, but I worked on a boat and we had a little red light and it let crew know that if the red light was on, you couldn't go up onto the sun deck. But as the owners got like more and more comfortable with us, they just stopped turning that red light on. walk up there and I was like, oh my God, you forgot to turn the light on.
So was it just the two of them or was it a party and everyone going?
Oh no, there's like a bunch of them. Yeah.
Wow. That's wild.
That's what the Hollywood Raw yacht's going to look like too.
Sure. Next. Yeah. That's wild. That's pretty insane. I mean, I would have wanted to clean up on that deck though. You know what I mean?
That's when we just get the hoses out and just.
He's got to clean that one up. That's pretty wild. You have a new podcast coming out. Tell us about this podcast.
I do. Yeah. It's going to be called The Total Ship Show and we're just going to talk all things ships. So a lot of stories that I've had with, you know, a cool thing about being in this industry is I meet a lot of fascinating like captains and engineers and people that just have these wild stories at sea. And I'm a nerd when it comes to those stories. And I thought maybe some other people out there might enjoy it too.
Dude, people are obsessed with Below Deck. I mean, in full transparency, we've been trying to get Below Deck cast members for quite some time because people are so obsessed with the show and your guys' storylines and all kinds of stuff. And it took our network, Herdat, signing you to get this connection going. So big shout out to Herdat. We're excited for your podcast. It doesn't debut until the beginning of the year. Is that correct? When do we get to hear the first episode of your show?
Yeah, probably around the beginning of the year. I'm kind of stuck in France at the moment. So when I can get back and kind of get in the studio, then we'll have something out by the end of the year.
Okay, so here's another question. How are you going to keep up the recording? Is this going to be, you're going to do episodes while you're on the yacht, like downstairs, or like what's your plan?
I don't really have a plan. I think I'm going to figure that out as we go, but I can get a weekend here or there to go back.
Sick. That's so fun. I love it.
We just recorded our reunion and I did that in my shower on the yacht during a charter. So I figure it out.
All right, guys, we got to talk about Herdat Media, our network. I feel like we are adding new shows on daily. We got a couple really good ones. And if you like Hollywood Raw, I think you might like some of these other ones. So Adam, tell them what else we got on the network.
Yeah, we got X Appeal with Jen Lammers, the host of Extra, and Julian Marlin. They used to hook up, but now they're friends. Interesting, weird dynamic, but they make it work, and they're hosting a show together. It's great. Offer Chops, hosted by Australian professional wrestlers and best friends Cassie Lee and Jesse McKay.
And if you want something a little different, we got the Giles Files with Nancy Giles. She's an award-winning contributor to the CBS News Sunday Morning. And listen, if you want to find something completely different, check out my other show, Pod Sauce. I host with Alicia Renee. It is a podcast discovery show, so we're just literally recommending great podcasts out there. And you know what? There's so many more huge shows that are joining Herdat Media. They've got national audience, household names, receiving hundreds of thousands of weekly downloads. Everyone seems to be joining us. We're kind of the new cool place to go.
Yeah, Herdat Media Network has to be one of the fastest growing networks in terms of audience growth in 2021. Go to herdatmedia.com. That's Herdat, H-U-R-R-D-A-T, media.com to check out our network, or you can click the link in the show notes to find out more. Now, back to the show.
All right, we need to get into your scooter accident. This was a big deal. I saw on social media when you kind of said, hey, I've been in an accident. Thank God I was wearing my helmet. Walk us through what happened.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, first off, it was a Vespa, like a 150cc Vespa. A lot of people asked me if it was like a Razor scooter and I was like, no, it's a motorcycle. I was with my crew, my deck crew that day. We had rented these Vespas and we were kind of going all over Palma. And we were coming back. We were close to the boat. It was late at night. We were going a lot faster than we should have been. And one of my deck crew members was in front of me and he kind of looked over his shoulder, but not well enough. And he went to the left and he clipped my front tire.
Oh.
And that, yeah. And we were going 75 miles per hour. Yeah. And it's one of those things where I saw it happening and I was like, this is not going to be good. And then I was laying there in the middle of the road. It was dark and I just see these cars coming. And luckily, like, adrenaline was pumping through my veins and I just stood up and I ran off the road because I was like, they're not going to see me. They're not going to stop. There we were. Like, everyone's phones were dying. We were in, you know, we're in Spain. We're trying to get an ambulance. We're trying to get me to the hospital. But It's good. A lot of road rash later, and I'm fine. But
yeah, I was gonna say, I saw your photo, and your arms were bandaged up. Your legs were bandaged up. Yeah, I was gonna say, is there any residual scarring on your body from all of this?
I've got a lot of from the road rash. I fractured my elbow and I broke my toes. But and then I had road rash everywhere, which was gnarly. But it's really just the road rash, trying to get the scars to go away.
So is that part of the reason why you can't go home?
No, my boat actually flew me home to just kind of hang out and recover. So okay. I was home for a while recovering, and then I've just now come back to work a couple weeks ago.
Is there going to be any more Vespa rides in foreign countries, or are you hanging up your hat on that one?
No, hell yeah. I love scooters. I love dirt bikes. I love all things like that. So.
Dang, man. That's not.
I also have a road bike, and that could happen on a road bike too, you know? So.
Yeah, but, I guess so. But 70 miles an hour. I'm just like picturing that, because that's so easy that could happen. Like, it's one of those things that's.
Yeah.
What did the guy, what was his response?
He was fine. He was able to like save it.
Well, we know he's fine, but what was his response to you?
Is he just calling you every day? Like, how does he?
Oh no, he felt bad. He felt terrible. But I mean, it was my deck crew. So they came over. You know, I think I was the calmest. I was like, guys, I'm okay. I'm going into shock. Like, let's just everyone take a deep breath. I'm fine. They were panicking. It's okay.
When they got you to the hospital, how long did the medical staff have to sit there and like pick stones and debris out of your skin?
Honestly, that was the worst part. The poor woman, like, I speak broken Spanish. She was speaking broken English. And basically she brought this tub in and she's like, I'm so sorry. This is going to hurt. And I was like, what's going on? And she just takes this sponge and like this brush and she just starts scrubbing all of my... And like, you saw the bandages. I had wounds that were like massive. And it was pure iodine. And I just started screaming. And she gave me a popsicle stick to like bite down on. And I was like, no, please stop.
There's no better way to do it. They couldn't drug you up first.
That was the other thing. They didn't give me any pain medication. And I was like, why? Please give me pain medication. She's like, we can't yet. Because they had to do scans and everything, you know, which I understand. But.
And was there any long-term like infections that you got from it that you had to get under control or anything?
No, no infections or nothing. I was concussed pretty badly, but nothing long-term. Well, I don't think. We'll
and sorry, one other question. Did you land on the road like asphalt or on like gravel, like on the side of the road?
It was like asphalt, but there was a patch of gravel that my friend had like tried to swerve. So there was loose gravel in it, but it was asphalt. And I just kind of flew and just my body just did a bunch of barrel rolls on the asphalt. And
it's really amazing. Yeah. You didn't break more parts of your body. Like if you're flipping around like that, it's pretty unbelievable.
Yeah. My helmet had a crack all the way down the middle. Like it was split and my face, luckily I had a face shield. So, but pieces of plastic from the face shield were in like my eyebrow and things, but.
Oh my God.
I'm good. Good now.
So we know that the show has this insane fan base. Who is the biggest celebrity that's reached out to you that kind of left you starstruck? Someone maybe slid in your DMs and said, I'm a huge fan that was like, wow, this is pretty cool.
This happened just recently, actually. I don't really want to name drop, but I got a message from a pretty big namer and I was like,
come on, drop the name.
It's okay.
No, I can't, but I didn't know that I could filter message requests. So she had actually sent me it in like September and I didn't know. And I only just responded like 2 days ago. I was like, oh, hey, also a big fan, but I didn't know you sent me a message like months ago.
Wow. Are we talking actress, singer?
Actress, model.
Oh, got you. That's really cool. So Emrata, tell us about her. She's a huge fan. And you got.
I think another cool one was Chrissy Teigen put on like, you know, she tweeted, she was like, oh, Emrata's such a badass. And I was like, wow, this is so weird that like celebrities know my name or who I am.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Yeah, I think a lot of celebrities watch the show now, which is cool.
So on that note, do you watch any other Bravo shows or is there any other Bravo celebrities that you're obsessed with personally?
If I'm honest, I don't watch any other Bravo shows, and I'm not a huge, I don't know that I, you know, I'm not a huge like celebrity fangirl, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what I would do if I saw a famous person. I'd probably just be like, hey, what's up?
Adam, who else told us they were on a Bravo show and they were like, I don't really watch any other ones. Was it Leah McSweeney?
Might have been her, but Leah's been in the game for a while. Like, she's cool. Like, she's a New Yorker. Like, she's
Dorinda. Was it Dorinda?
It could be Dorinda. I think it was Dorinda.
Was like, yeah, I don't listen. I don't watch it. Yeah. Like,
I've met a bunch of other Below Deck cast members, and I didn't know they were on Below Deck. Like, they were like, oh, hey, Malia. And I was like, hey. And they're like, no, it's me. And I was like, cool. It's me also. And then they're like, oh, my friends are like, dude, that's so-and-so from, like, Sailing Season. I was like, oh, cool. Hey.
That's so funny.
Dax, we want to play a game with you, Malia. And Dax, okay. Tell us about this game.
All right. So this is a new game for us, but we're really excited. It's called Cap or Fact. All right. So we're going to read off some of these headlines that are circulating around the world. You let us know if it's cap or fact, because there's so much, you know, listen, we've been in the entertainment industry for years and years and years. And there's a lot of stuff that I see and I'm like, there is no way that's true. And it's just people trying to get headlines. So we're going to read off headlines. You let us know.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. We all know what cap means, right? We're all cool. We're all hip.
No, I don't actually.
I knew that. Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's a lie. Cap means lie. That's what all the TikTokers are saying now. So that's
cap, like C-A-T.
C-A-P. So half cap.
Like a
cap.
Oh, okay. I thought we were playing like captain or fact. I was like,
okay. So, right. Cap is a lie. Fact is a fact. It's all right.
Okay. You just say lie. It's the same amount of letters.
I know, but it's so. It's
okay. A cool
we gotta
term.
Be cool.
We gotta be cool. You know?
Okay. Right.
All right. Work on that. All right, Malia. Cap or fact. Daily Express did a story, a headline that said, Below Deck Mediterranean, is Malia White dating one of her co-stars? Question mark. That is the headline. Cap or fact?
Cap.
So you're not dating anyone.
Well, there's a technical thing there. He's not a co-star.
Oh, so you are dating Jack, though, correct?
Jake.
I'm sorry. Jake.
I don't know who. I don't know.
No, Jake. Not Jack. Jake. You are Jake dating Baker. Jake, correct?
Yes.
Okay, but and so he's not a co-star. He's the engineer, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
So how did that come out? Like, how did that come to be? Did he make the first move to you, or like, how did it go down?
He did make. Well, he gave me a book to read, and I was like, oh, he reads books. That's good. That's a good sign. The Blue Mind.
Okay.
It's really good. It's all about how the water and the ocean kind of changes you. So that was good. And then we had to fix a jet ski once together, and that was fun. We chatted a bunch. But honestly, nothing really happened until after filming was done, and we kind of got to hang out away from cameras. And yeah. His boat and my boat were both in the Caribbean, and we got to hang out some more then. So yeah.
So is it hard? Like, I'm assuming it affects your love life being on long distance yachts all the time. So if you're not dating either a member of the boat or a co-star, like, you're probably not having much of a love life, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, every yachty has Tinder, because whatever port you go into, you know. It's bad. that was
real life
phrase. I meant yeah. So we, and then dating, you know, it's hard to date someone not in the industry, or because, yeah, you work long hours, you're out in the middle of nowhere, you're on a boat with a bunch of people. It's tough. Unless you're on rotation, then that works.
How serious is this relationship? Are you guys, have you met each other's families? It's, are you officially boyfriend, girlfriend?
You know, I don't know. It's hard to, we're on separate boats at the moment. So we'll see, like, if we can get on the same boat, it might be different, but it's just, he's met some of my family. Yeah.
Do any of the, I want to say your co-stars or anyone, do you guys ever hook up with people that are guests on the boat? And I'm not saying you necessarily, I'm just saying, is that like a common thing? Like, people could potentially hook up with a guest? No,
it's not common. No. And it's very frowned upon. And that's kind of like a line you don't want to cross when you're a crew member.
I have
heard stories of, like, you know, stewardesses who have worked on the boat for long periods of time and owners like falling in love. That's happened. That's very, very rare, but it's happened. But no, it's not. It's very, it's, you don't do that.
And can you confirm or deny that Jake doesn't actually go by Jack?
he goes by Jake. I don't think he'd like it if I called him Jack. He'd be like, who's Jack?
All right. Capper fact. Bosses forced to step in during wild Lexi Wilson fight.
Bosses?
Yeah. The
production fact. Yeah.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah, she crossed the line. She got physical and then...
They jump in?
Yeah.
Now, is this... But this is production or this is literally... Whoever's manning the boat, is it everyone jumping in or just production?
It was production at that point. It was that night that we're all in the crew mess and everyone's kind of like going at it and we're trying to get her to just like go to bed. And then she started shoving Z and she started getting physical and like throwing arms. And then production just came in and was like, right, everyone go to bed. So,
all right. Next one, Capper fact. Metro put out this headline that says, Below Deck Mediterranean, Matthew Brand Sandy, one of the worst captains in Reunion.
Fact, he did do that, yes.
Fact. And why?
Captain Sandy and Matthew did not get along very well. I don't think she liked that he quit and came back. And I don't think he liked the way that she spoke to him sometimes. So it was kind of a brutal work relationship.
Interesting. All right.
All right. This one came from Bravo TV's website. Captain Sandy Yawn recalls the most volatile crew experience she's been on Below Deck Mediterranean. Is it?
Fact,
was it yeah.
Probably Lexi. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I got one last one here for you. Capper fact. We're doing headlines from around the world, different publications. This one comes from Daily Express. Is Hannah returning to Below Deck Mediterranean? Question mark. Capper fact. Is Hannah returning?
I have no idea.
There's a lot of rumors.
I'm the wrong person to ask.
There's a lot of rumors.
I haven't really talked to Hannah about it, but I'd say I have no idea.
Okay, this is going to lead us into our next little game here. It's called Rate Your Co-Star, okay? So we're going to get into what it's like working with some of these people because, you know, when I was on TMZ, people would think, oh, these people are the best friends, and if I rated them, I might have rated them differently than what you see on TV.
Okay.
Adam, I would have given a 4 on TMZ.
I was about to say, what are you doing, man?
All right. 1 to 10, rate Captain Sandy.
9.
Cool. All right.
Hannah.
6.
Colin.
I've never worked with Colin.
Never worked with Colin?
But he's a great guy. I really like Colin. I'd give him like a 10. He's so nice.
All right. That's a good one.
Okay. Christine.
Oh, Bugsy?
Yeah. Yep.
I'd give Bugsy an 8.
All right. What about maybe not a co-star, but someone you work with, Jake?
10.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
How about Lexi Wilson?
Oof, I'd say a 4, hard 4.
Ooh, hard 4 for Lexi. All right, well, that was fun. That was the first time we played Rate Your Coworker. That was fun. I liked it. Oh, man. Well, Adam, do you have any other following questions? Because this has been really fun.
I know. I enjoy this. It's you have an interesting gig. So it's like one of those things where I'm just more interested in your lifestyle and your job. It's one of those things where it's there's only so many. I understand why you're kind of dating another person that's in their industry because like you two are on the same page a little bit. You understand each other's types of lives. Yeah. What is my last question for you is just what's your end goal? Like I know you be captain, but is there more long term? Are you trying to get more into reality TV or have your own show? Like what is your end goal?
That's a good question.
I don't know, really. I don't think I ever thought it could be anything but yachting. Like. In the short term. And then with this season of Below Deck, I think my following has grown quite a bit and kind of more opportunities that have presented themselves. And so, yeah, I don't know. I think if the show wants me to continue, I would. I love yachting though. I still want to have a career in it. But then, yeah, maybe see what other doors open as I go along.
What was the moment that you came back to like the US and you realized, oh damn, I'm actually really popular here. People are recognizing me when I'm walking down the street. Like, what was that moment like? I love hearing these like insta-famous stories, because for a lot of people, they are on a reality show. The reality show is huge. And then all of a sudden they're thrust into this like new fame.
Yeah, it definitely took me a minute to get used to, and my family as well. But because my mom kind of lives in Florida now. So I think one moment I was in Publix and I was in like the cracker section, and I just hear this screaming, and I look over and I was like, oh my God, what's going on? There's an emergency. And this woman's just coming towards me, but like screaming. And I was like, are you okay? Like, what's going on? And she's like, what are you doing here? And I was like, heading some crackers. what are you doing here? And then it took me a minute to like clock it, and I was like, oh shit, like you watch Below Deck. So I don't know, it's taken me a minute. I thought with the brown hair I wouldn't be as recognizable, but apparently it's my voice. So I don't know what that says about me.
How many people come up to you and are like, why do I know you? Where do I know you from?
Oh, I love that, because I never help them. They're like, oh, where do I know you from? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, you know, and I had the best one is recently I had this girl, she's a little drunk, but she came up to me at a bar and she's like, has anyone ever told you you look like Malia from Below Deck? And I was like, you know, I get that a lot. And she's like, you look just like her. I eventually told her and we took a photo together, but yeah, I love not helping people.
That's so funny. I love it.
Yeah. Well, Malia, thank you for coming on the show. Make sure you guys get ready for her podcast coming out next year, very soon next year, The Ship Show. I'm excited for that. Make sure you follow her on Instagram. She's a fun follow. It's exciting to see where in the world she is. But it's glad to see you doing well, especially after the accident. You're in a happy place, especially with this new guy in your life. It's very cool. It's very exciting stuff going on.
Yeah, thanks, guys. And thanks for having me. This is a lot of fun.
No problem. Okay, before we go, who was it that dropped into your DMs?
Well, maybe we'll see. We might be hanging out soon, so you'll see.
All righty. I love it. Well, thank you, Malia. We really do appreciate it. You're busy lady, but being over there, you know, keep working hard, and we'll keep watching the show.
Sounds good. See you guys.
That was fun.
That was really fun. So here's the thing. I wasn't lying when I told her that we have tried to get numerous stars of Below Deck for quite some time. Like, they are guarded. I don't know if it's because they're busy and they're just always around the world or what, but like, we can never get anyone.
Yeah, Bravo. It's been a little bit tough to kind of get a hold of to start giving us some of their people. But of all the shows we've had, the Housewives, we've had the other shows on, we've had, but we couldn't get, you know, but it's also these people are not like in America, like they're all over the world. So they're hard to get a hold of, you know, as we, you know, she's a big star on the show.
She's pretty huge.
Cool to talk to her.
She's huge. Like, we got one of the big ones. That's the cool part. Like, not only did it take us forever to get a Below Deck star, but we got like a legit one of the stars of the show. So that's cool. I'm excited for her podcast. Like we said earlier, it's going to be on Herd At, which is our network here. So you'll have to listen to Total Ship Show once it comes out at the beginning of the year. But a lot of people are excited to hear her doing a show. Yeah.
And we got some really huge guests coming up on the podcast the next couple of weeks. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's exciting. It's really, really cool.
We've been growing. And you know what? A lot of it is thanks to people leaving reviews and stuff. And we appreciate that. So continue to ask you to please, if you haven't gone and left a review on iTunes, just scroll down to the bottom, leave 5-star review, then like a little comment, these guys are awesome or we suck or whatever. But just leave the 5 stars is the most important part.
Yes, and we're on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We're on it all. Follow us on all social media platforms. We got a fun account going on right now. It's really cool to stay up to date with what's going on in the Hollywood world. You can find me at Adam Glynn, GLYN. You can find Dax Holt at DAXHOLT. We'll see you guys next time.
A Herd At Media production.